Well, we are continuing on in our series on respect this morning, and I want to go over our definition of respect, and I've got it up here for everybody to see, and follow along with me. Later, I'll ask you guys to repeat this, but right now, I just want to read this for you. Show others they are important by what we say and do. That's what it means to respect other people, is to show them they are important by what we say and do. So I want to show a little ways that we do this, that we show respect in our culture. And so I want to ask a young person, very young. So if you still think you're young, that's cool. But I want to ask a very young person to show all of us, so you're going to come up here and show all of us what you do when you say the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, Adeline, go ahead. Come on up. You were not really raising your hand, Anderson. You were kind of like, oh, Pledge of Allegiance, I'm not sure I want to do that. Okay. Can you show us what you do when you say the Pledge of Allegiance? What's the other hand? What else do you do? One more thing. Where do you look? Okay, so show us all together. Okay, very good. Have a seat. All right. This one might be harder, so Ellie, that's why I saved you this one, because some of these are a little bit harder. Can any of you guys tell me what you're supposed to do when a judge enters a courtroom? Can you show us, not tell us, but show us. Sarah. This is our niece, Sarah, by the way. No? When a judge enters a courtroom, what are you supposed to do? Don't know? Okay, sit back down. Ellie, do you know? When a judge enters a courtroom? Well, show us. Very good, okay. This one's even harder. I don't know if you guys know this one. You've been in the car when this has happened, so some of you might be able to tell us. You can't show us, but you can tell us. What do you do when we're driving down the road? If you're driving, what do you do when a funeral procession comes by you? You know, Ellie? Okay, you pull over, you stop, and until what? When? Until everyone passes. Yes, very good. You're going to say stop? Okay. Now, I don't think kids do this anymore, so this one's for the adults. You don't have to show us, but this one's for any of the adults. What do you do when the principal enters the room? Any of you have to do this? No? None of you are old enough to have had to done this? No? No one? Stand up? Be quiet. Well, yeah, there you go. That's still true today. That one's still valid today. All right. What about what do we do when a bride enters for the wedding ceremony? We've got one over here, Noah. You stand up. Sorry, I should have made you show us, but that's all right. And of course, I was in the front, so I don't know if we all did this, but for something like a flag or when someone. Or something happens where we are to show others that we are being respectful, what we do is we stand. That's a symbol for respect. Now, our text this morning is from Leviticus 19:32, and we're going to read this. And we don't really do this anymore. Maybe some of you, a long time ago, this used to happen, but culturally we've lost this really almost completely. So let's read Leviticus 19:32. I want to read this from the NASB because of I like the way they translated it. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. So there's a command in Leviticus And in this command, and there's all these lists of rules and regulations, but these rules and regulations are to teach the people how to live, and how to live with each other, and how to live with God, and how to honor God, and how to show Him respect, and how to honor other people and show them respect, and all of these commands actually matter for how we live. And in those commands is this really the only command in Scripture. This is really the only command in Scripture to respect or honor those who are older. Now, most of you were taught or told at some point or know that you should respect your elders. How many of you have heard that before? How many of you have said that before? Respect your elders. But that's pretty much just those who are adults. If you're a kid, those who are adults, if they're older than you, you're supposed to respect them. And that goes back to this, but that's, it, by the way, those other passages in Scripture that talk about respecting elders, that's literally talking about church elders, like Jim McComb here. They weren't thinking of Jim McComb, or Tom Purdy, but those passages are talking about church elders. But when you hear the phrase respect your elders, that means those who are older, and that comes from this verse. And this is the only verse, really this is the only verse in Scripture that gives this command. But there are other passages in Scripture that we'll get to in a little bit that talk about this. But Leviticus 19:32, I want to read this from the New International Version now. Rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. So, and all the translations, they actually use slightly different language, but this is one of the great times in translations where you have a bunch of different translations and they use different language, but they all say pretty much the exact same thing. Because they all, I mean, the meaning is clear. There's no question, there's no confusion, they just chose different words. You know, if we wanted to be more literal, we would say something like gray-headed. You know, if you have, you know, but sometimes some of us gray early, so... But that's literally what it meant. And rise in the presence. Were any of you ever taught to stand up in the presence of those who are over a certain age? Anybody? No? There are times, there are places, even in the U.S., even in our, even within the past 100 years, where this was something that was taught. Maybe not every time, maybe not whenever you're in the presence of, but it would be similar to when a lady enters the room, what would men do? Stand. Or in the presence of a lady, what would men do? Well, if they're already like standing, if they're just talking with, if you're having a conversation with a woman or just in the presence, you would remove your hat as a sign of respect. This is to show them and to show others by what you do that they are important. Now, we don't really do this, but we understand that, right? We understand that, I mean, we have that as a part of our culture. We went through a bunch of things where you do these things, these outward signs to show other people that they are important. Now, we also, what we say matters. I really hesitated on what to title this sermon, and even what translation to use, because I was talking with my aunt the other week. I won't say which one. That way, if she ever comes to church, you won't know. You know, if one of my aunts comes to church, you won't know if it was her or not. But my aunt, we were just having a conversation about different things in church, and she got on this concept of elderly. She hates the word elderly. I think it was because we were talking about birthdays and her birthday, and she was getting over a certain birthday, and in the past, any age over that certain birthday would be considered elderly, and she didn't think of herself as elderly, and so she didn't like that word and didn't want to use that word, and so I won't use that word around her, and I wouldn't say that anyways. And we, you know, we may not think of ourselves as a certain age, we may not use certain words, but certainly the words we use do matter. Oh, I forgot one. This one I thought of during the service, and I forgot to write it down. This is for all of you younger than, we'll say, 15. for all of you younger than 15, I want you to show us, so you need to come up here to show us, what you do. I know I'm interrupting, but they need this. Show us what you do when somebody is praying. Anderson, come on up. Come up here. Don't tell us. Show us. Stand here. Turn around so everybody can see you. Turn around. Show us what you do whenever somebody else is praying. Anything else? Very good. Good job. Now, I'm going to tell you what that was. We are quiet. We are quiet. I don't have any other ones. We are quiet when someone else is praying. Right? He could have closed his eyes, but we are, we kind of keep ourselves from distracting others. Right, guys? You guys all know that's what we do, right? Yeah, we aren't talking and playing and those kinds of things when someone else is praying. there's a reason I thought of that during the service, just FYI. Yes, Ellie. Take your hat off when we pray? Yeah, he wasn't wearing a hat, so he couldn't show us. Okay. All right. Now I completely lost track. I really wanted to do that one because I... let me find my place again. Leviticus 19:32. Okay, let's go back and let's look at our definition again. And I want you guys to repeat this after me. This is for everybody. Help the kids along. Adults too, help them. And I want you to repeat after me. Show others they are important. Repeat after me. Not complete my sentences for me. That's different. I really distracted us. Okay, repeat after me. Pete and repeat were sitting on a fence. Pete fell off. Who was left? Okay. Anderson, can you repeat after me? Show others they are important. By what we say and do. Okay, very good. Now, I mentioned that there are other passages of Scripture that talk about, that reference this or use this command to show respect to those who are older. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 5, you don't have to turn there, but we're going to have it up here for you. Isaiah 3, 5, actually, what this passage is talking about is judgment of Israel. And it gives indicators. This is how you're going to know that God is judging Israel. And one of those ways you're going to know that God is judging Israel is that those who are younger... The NASB says storm against the elder, and other translations phrase that differently, but basically those who are young show no respect, even to the point of being evil towards, of having unrighteous actions towards those who are older. That's one of the signs that God was going to judge Israel and judge Jerusalem. The reason is because that's an indicator of a people, whether or not they respect God. Remember that command in Leviticus 19:32? Two times it talks about respecting those who are older, and then it says, revere your God. Bring that back up, Francine, for me. Just NIV, NASB, doesn't matter. Leviticus 19:32. Revere your God, I am the Lord. There's a very direct connection here in this passage with how we treat other people is an indicator for how we treat God and what we believe about God and how we interact with God. This matters for us. And in Timothy, Paul, when he's talking about how Timothy, he's giving instructions to Timothy on how to correct, how to teach, how to basically get people to live the way they're supposed to be living, to live in a way that honors God, to live in a holy way. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Paul writes, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers. This is rooted in this teaching that we are to respect, we are to honor those who are older. In fact, everybody that we respect, we do this in slightly different ways. As adults, we can show respect to kids, right? Yes, absolutely. If it really irritates me if I see a teacher not showing, not example, being an example of respect to children. Not that they can't discipline, but when they are not respecting the kids. They don't, that respect is not there. We can respect kids, but we do that. We respect our children or other people's children in a different way than we would respect a police officer. We still show them they are important by what we say and do, but the things we do and the things we say are slightly different. The way we say things can be different. The way we treat our parents, the way we show them respect is different than the way we're going to show respect to a stranger. And so for Paul, what he tells Timothy is that in the church, if you have someone who's older and you, whether they're a man or a woman, if you need to correct them, if you need to teach them, if they need encouragement, the way you go about doing that is the way you would do that with your own parents. So what you say and do to show them they are important is the same as what you would say and do for your own parents. By the way, for those of you who are over, I'm not going to define I'm not going to define any age for us because, well, you know, for some people, if you color your hair, I don't even know if you're gray-headed. That was supposed to be a joke, by the way. But, you know, I don't know what you consider of yourself, but I'm not going to set an age for you, but it doesn't matter what age you are. The reason Paul gave these instructions to Timothy was because he says, do not rebuke an older man harshly. You know what? Sometimes older men and sometimes older women need what? Rebuking. They need correcting, we would say. We need to be reminded sometimes of God's word. We need to be reminded that our actions or our attitudes aren't living up to what God has called us to in Jesus Christ. And so we all need that. It's just the way we go about doing that matters because we should show others they are important by what we say and do. And this isn't something that's just forced. How many of you have read the book, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Just a few of you. Roald Dahl wrote it. Fantastic. Strange. The man was crazy, but he was one of the most fantastic writers. The things he taught, the things he teaches children in his works are just, I didn't appreciate them until I started reading them later in life and really listening to what he was teaching and the morality and the thing. So, anyways, how many of you have seen the movie Charlie and the Chocolate Factory from 1970, whatever, six, I think? Okay, that one's a little more familiar. Well, in the book and in the movie, and in the book, this isn't, you're not quite sure because of the way that Roald Dahl writes, you're not quite sure, but one of the ways that the movie interpreted Willy Wonka was in this kind of faux or fake respect that he paid to the children and parents who were all, you know, these despicable children and despicable parents, you know, the ones who were bad and just, you know, did all these things that they shouldn't be doing, and the parents let them do it, and Willy Wonka would, you really get this in the movie, he would pretend to be respectful, but you could tell he was being sometimes facetious or sarcastic, and you could tell that he was, on the inside, he didn't really believe that. You're not quite sure in the book whether that's true or not, and in the movie, this gets to the point where, at the very end, Willy Wonka gets angry with Charlie. Do you guys remember that at the very end? And he gets angry with Charlie, and basically he yells at Charlie because Charlie didn't do what he was supposed to do. And then, of course, Charlie finally does something to show that he could be trustworthy, and Willy Wonka's all lovey-dovey again. But at that moment, and that part's not in the book. That part's not there. But in the movie, they interpret that fake respect so thoroughly, they take it all the way to the end. And sometimes we think that we have to just kind of force a respect. We have to say, well, I'm supposed to do this because I'm supposed to do it. But I've talked about this before, I want to say this again. We don't just do things because we're supposed to do them. We do them because of what we believe. And if we believe that other people have value, if other people are important, then we will treat them as if they are important. And in order to believe that other people are important, we need to understand that they are important because Jesus Christ died for them. That's foundational to that. And so we aren't stuck in a place where we're struggling to respect someone just because we're supposed to do it. That doesn't mean we won't ever struggle to respect someone. Just like children sometimes struggle to respect their parents or struggle to respect those who are older or struggle to do what they're told. Sometimes as adults, we struggle to respect someone who is mean to us or someone who's not living the way we think we should, or we struggle to respect. We might have all different kinds of people in our lives that, if we look at our lives, we might struggle to respect different people, but we have those struggles too, just like they do. And so this connection that Leviticus chapter 19, 32, by the way, the Old Testament is amazing. The New Testament writers, they taught from it. This connection that Leviticus 19, 32 makes between respecting those who are older and respecting God is still true today, and it's true for us. When we understand who God is and when we understand what he has done for us, that connection allows us then to show others respect in an honest and earnest way. And we all of us, this isn't just kids, respect those who have gray hair, respect those who are older. No, we all need stretched in this. Don asked me how I was doing this morning. Sorry to mention you this morning, Don. And I said, okay. And I told him I went on a trip yesterday. And that actually reminded me. I was having a conversation with the person I went with. I went with Brett Kronovich. He's the minister at Christ United Church. And we went on this long, it's 5 to 7 mile run. We didn't run, but it was supposed to be a run through the hills in southern Ohio, and it was a mud obstacle race. We weren't racing either, we were just trying to get through. And so you go through mud, and it's up and down hills and creeks and ravines, and they have these obstacles set up that are Brett was actually in the military, and he said that some of those obstacles were just like what he went through in basic training. And you go through these things, and, you know, we're doing this. Why would anybody do this? You know, I've got cuts and bruises and marks up and down both arms and both legs and in my chest, and, you know, I'm sore, and why would anybody do this crazy stuff? In the first half mile, before I even got to the obstacles, I was going, why did I do this? I'd actually done it last year, but this year was worse. Why would I do something like that? And the reason I gave Don an answer this morning, I said, I went that because I need that to challenge myself, because I need to exercise. If I don't exercise, my health gets worse. If I'm not pushing myself, if I'm not reaching towards some kind of goal, then I'm going to struggle more. And I could give him that answer because Brett and I were talking about those kinds of things. We were talking about respect. We were talking about respect, and we were talking about this thing we were doing and this challenge, and we kind of examined that in our lives as Christians, as individuals, you know, just for us. We weren't talking about our churches. We were talking about us. We need to be challenged. He went and did this, and he agreed to do it before he actually looked at what was like the obstacles, and when he said that yesterday morning, he told me, I'm glad I agreed to do this before I looked at the website, because I don't think I would have agreed to do this otherwise. But the reason he agreed to do it and the reason he followed through with it, because he needed that. He needed to be challenged. He needed to be stretched. And we don't have to stretch ourselves in those ways. We do that physically for our health, to keep ourselves active. But you know what? We all need to do that in our spiritual lives. We need to do that in our Christian walk. We have to be challenged and stretched. And we can do that ourselves. It doesn't have to be the preacher doing it. It doesn't have to be someone else doing it. We can choose to challenge ourselves. Not everything's going to be easy. It's not always going to be easy to respect others. It's not always going to be easy to say what we need to say to show them they are important. It's not always going to be easy that we need to do what we need to do to show them they are important. And not just that they are important, but that Jesus Christ loves them and died for them and wants to have wants them to be reconciled to him. It's not always easy to do that. But guess what? We need to challenge ourselves, and we need to go out there and do these crazy things. Other people, they're not so crazy for. One of the obstacles was this big, tall, it wasn't as tall as our ceiling, but it was about 10 feet shy of the height of our ceiling in here. And it's just you just climb up and climb down. It wasn't like they made it really difficult to climb. I mean, it was made of wood. It's like this giant ladder. You go up and you go down. And there's this tower. And I tell you what, I'm up and down that thing, no problem. Other people, though, they're shaking on top. And they're hugging it as they're trying to climb over. I was there when the first person of the day said no problem and went right back down the side they were climbing up. Why? You guys know why. Some of you might have this because of a fear of what? Heights. But most of the people, even if they were struggling, they made it because there were other people there cheering them on. Even the other contestants and the people who were volunteering to work the event, they were cheering, you can do this, you can make it, and helping them through it. And that's what you have to do with all these things, because when you challenge yourself and you're growing in these things, you have to be willing to go through with it, you have to commit to it. But then we have each other then, when you're stuck there at the top, to push you over. not to push you, but to help you get over. And we have others there to encourage each other. And we're there to help each other, but we have to make that commitment. We have to be willing to say, in the face of these things, I'm going to push myself. I'm going to challenge myself. And for those of you who are older, you may be saying, "What? Come on, Christian, it's not that hard to respect those who are elderly or aged or gray-headed or whatever." Honestly, I couldn't come up with a word that someone might not be upset about. That's probably why we came up with respect your elders, those who are older than you. But that's not so hard to do. Take a look around. First, not here. I'm not looking at anyone in here. No. But for some people, that is hard. It's a challenge for them. And you're going to be tempted to not respect them because of it. Think about that for a moment. You will be tempted to not respect or to possibly even disrespect someone who doesn't show you respect. We all are. So I guarantee you, you need to challenge yourself in some way. And that's going to be different for everybody in here, because we go down from 5 years old, and we won't mention who the oldest person is in here. Actually, I don't know who's the oldest, but we won't go into that. We have this huge range. We're all in a different place, and we're all in slightly different places. But we know, and we're going to say this together this time. You're not going to complete my sentence, and you're not going to repeat after me. We're going to say this one together, what it means to respect. All right, let's say the definition of respect together. Guys, are you guys paying attention? Anderson, you're going to read this? You're going to say this with me, okay? See that what's up on there on the screen? You're going to say this with me. Adeline, you're going to say this with me, right? Thanks, Sarah. Okay. Show others they are important by what we say and do. We can do that, and we have a desire to do that because Jesus Christ loves us, died for us, and his Spirit lives in us and is pushing us, is helping us, is encouraging us, is challenging us to be holy the way God is holy.